Long ago, on the fields of battle, in the year 2017, two men met to decide once and for all what the most metal things in the universe are. But there can be only one. What's more metal? With Dan Weber, Noriko Art, and Brandon.
Welcome to What's More Metal, everybody, the podcast where two bad-ass, sad asses fucking tell you what the most metal shit in the universe is. Joining me, as always, is comedian Dan Weber.
Hey.
I'm comedian Noriko Art. Hey. Oh, right. I don't know why I was waiting for me to say hi. And producer Randy, of course, with us.
I'm here.
Bringing in the excitement here in lovely Cranival Studios here in Portland, Oregon, the birthplace of sad. And I'm sick, so my voice is real cool aunt. It's a real cool aunt's voice that I have going on right now. I have a real long ash on my cigarette, and I got wine coolers for days for you and the kids.
It's like you sound like Kathleen Turner if she'd sucked a fiberglass dick.
I would not put that past Kathleen Turner. She's
a
badass.
Like, you're about to rent me a bunch of rated R movies.
I am. Like, just rent whatever you want. Just get it. It's fine. God, that was always the thing, is the aunt always had the super long ash on her cigarette and just let it fucking roll. You're like, what the fuck? How do you do that with your crazy aunt magic? The podcast with Dan and I choose random topics from history, pop culture, what have you, and then we decide between us the most metal versions of those things. Tonight's podcast topics are most metal spy, real life spy, metal chess piece. You've wanted it the whole time, and finally here at episode 70, you're gonna get it. We're not deaf to the
needs,
to the plights of our listeners. You were like, when are you getting to a three-part chess episode arc? And you have got it.
People. We started on episode 69 like we always intended.
Yes.
We always intended for the chess trilogy to start there.
On the sexiest episode.
And then end at 71.
It was on our Steve Bannon dry erase board. We had all of our our topics, and 69, we're like, no, not 68. You wait. It's the chess arc starts at 69. Get a face full of chess. Would you want to start with a spy or chess piece?
Both are pretty good. Like, okay. I don't really know.
Let's just start with spy. Let's get let's dive deep into it and get going. We decide who gets to go first every week by doing the most metal thing possible. And it's rolling 20-sided die. And I got an 18.
I got a 3.
Oh,
so you go first.
You've just been cloak and daggered, my friend. You've just been
your skullduggery fucking killed me.
Now, the thing, if you're a listener and God shines upon you if you are, if you're
blessed are those that listen.
Thank you, dick fucks. That's by the way. That's
the dick fucks.
Blessed be the dick fucks, our listeners.
For you know how to party.
You do indeed know how to party. You'll know that what makes something most metal, and metal, of course, being the horror genre of music. So that's most badass or bloody, deadly.
Yeah.
So those are the things usually comes down to the kill count, badassery. And also another thing that usually dictates when something is the most metal, and that is if it's killed the most Nazis. And that brings us to my choice for most metal spy, Nancy Wake.
Yep.
Nancy Wake, I believe was Australian, but she was living in France during World War II. She met a rich industrialist. They were married, and then World War II broke out. Germany invaded France. I hope I'm not ruining the end of this for you, listener. Spoiler alert. So Germany invades France. France, you know, is under occupation of German forces. And then so Nancy Wake becomes a courier for the French resistance. She's delivering messages. And then she's also helps their kind of like underground railroad to help people escape. The Germans start calling her the White Mouse.
Right.
Which is tight as fuck. Like, which isn't that kind of Muad'Dib from Dune's fucking name? He was like the Desert Mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking tight as fuck. See, so we have a Dune tie-in right there.
Dune reference.
That's fucking great.
She's killing a bunch of Harkonnens right now.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. In 1942, she had a price on her head of 5 million francs by the German Gestapo. And in the same year, 1942, the resistance movement in France like got ratted out, and then and it totally collapsed. And so she had to escape, and she did. And then she escaped through into Spain. Then she was the English government trained her as like a spy. Then like formally gave her like real military training. She parachutes back into France in 1944. She becomes an integral part of the Maquis, French resistance. They grow to like, because of her, they grow to like 8,000 strong, like, in their numbers. And, at one point the Germans, they go in there with like 22,000 troops into northern France, trying to like totally root out these resistance fighters. And they kill 1,400 Germans, and like they kill 100 resistance fighters. Like they fucking devastatingly fuck these dudes up, and that's awesome. And then she lives through the entire war. She's fine. I think she died in like 2011. I believe when she dies. Like she's just a bad motherfucker. She actually killed a German sentry guard. But he was going to go trigger the alarm. Like at one point, like a mission was going wrong, and she fucking karate chopped him in the neck and killed him cold. Like straight up karate chopped a dude to death. That's bad as fuck.
That's bad as shit.
Yeah. Neck chopped a dude.
That was definitely somebody that I did research on and considered.
Yes.
For sure. Because you can't not. Like,
yeah.
As soon as you read about that, that's fucking tight as hell.
Yeah.
Killing Nazis.
Killing Nazis, you're like, oh, yeah, you fucking rule all over. Like, that's bad as fuck. So, yeah.
So my choice is along a similar vein, but I also think anybody that fucks over racists a lot gets it. Like that usually...
I disagree. I go that way. Well, Nazis are one thing, but just a bigot?
So during the Civil War... a woman named Mary Bowser, who was a freed slave.
Mm-hmm.
She was owned by this woman's father. And then when her father died, she was an abolitionist. She freed all the slaves. Mary stayed behind. And then this woman taught her to read and write and stuff like that. She married a guy. Then they did a mission in somewhere in Africa. And then when she came back, she got married to this guy. And then 4 days later, the Civil War started.
Uh-huh.
So she was tasked with getting in, pretending to be a servant in Jefferson Davis's house.
Nice.
So she was a servant in Jefferson David's house. She was a house servant.
Uh-huh.
And because he didn't think, because he was such a fucking racist, even the thought of a black woman being able to read or write was beyond him. He just left all of the plans open and out on his desk all the time.
Fantastic.
And so she read them all. She read them and then sent them to the Union. And the Confederate armies kept getting fucked up because the Union knew what they were doing. And Jefferson Davis lost his mind trying to figure out who was the rat. And all along, it was the servant. She was never caught. She got away with it.
That's fucking amazing.
I don't get what's happening. I've done everything to keep this a secret. I mean, I've handed it to my slave. I've shown it only to my slaves. I don't get why.
Who can't read, so I don't know why I'm doing it.
Listen, look, we all know they can't read. So yeah, I love it. I love it on multiple levels. One, it should have been more dangerous than it was, but a hillbilly stupidity helped her in her job. She murdered a fuck ton of Confederates. She was responsible for a lot of hillbilly and racist redneck deaths.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
And essentially was integral to the victory of the North against the South.
I'm like, what's her name? Mary?
Mary Bowser.
Mary, get in here. Do you understand these? No? Ah, God, I don't know what it is. It was a crazy thought. I know. I'm sorry. A slave that could read and write. What's a dog that can tap dance? I don't know. What is going on with the world?
An elephant that can paint?
What's next?
What is happening?
Listen, they learn to read and write. Next thing you know, they're going to become president.
I think I figured it out. The horse keeps looking at my paperwork. Shoot all the horses.
He has the horse put to
death.
Except
for the fancy dancing one.
We'll pull the wagons with turtles. You don't. Can't pull one over on old JD.
Jefferson Davis is going to miss his dressage horse, but it keeps pawing. I'm assuming that's Morse code. Like, it's just pawing.
I'm counting their hoof prints. There's a code in it, I swear to God.
Yeah, at one point, she had her contact was a guy that ran a bakery in the city that Jefferson Davis was, his manor was outside of. So she stopped. It started to get too dangerous to pass him actual notes. Mm-hmm. So she invented a code where depending on how she hung laundry in what order, that was the message.
That's nice.
Brilliant. So she would go out and like hang like the sheets and whatnot in a particular order, and then somebody'd come out and look at it and know what the fuck was going on.
That's awesome.
That's honestly like super fucking smart.
Yeah, she was. I mean, smart. She was a badass. Like she didn't personally kill anybody. I don't think. But
if it went like blue sheet, clan robe, clan robe. They're like, two clan robes, two Confederate forces by water.
Yeah, right. If she puts out soiled underwear, it's like they're in trouble. They're on the run.
Oh man,
that's fucking great.
That's fucking great. That's a really great one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. Well, if I had a backup, I have a backup, and I'm gonna go. This person didn't do any like during World War II. They were they didn't do any like it was more of like they were a spy for the British government, but it was more of a I chose Roald Dahl. I chose Roald Dahl.
Yeah, for sure.
Roald Dahl was a spy in World War II. Yeah. It was
Ian Fleming. We're partners.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah. Yeah. He had crashed a plane in Northern Africa and during World War II, and it gave him he wasn't fit for duty anymore because he was getting headaches, and he was like so he couldn't fly anymore. So they sent him over, and he was just kind of like doing PR work a lot, but then he was actually just embedded spying, and then he would like report back to Winston Churchill and shit. Another thing he would do is he was banging hot broads, like socialites, and then getting secrets about like how they felt about England and like what their plans were. One of the things he got back was America's plan to eventually get to the moon. Like that was like a big one, like right. After the war. And another one was like, there was talk about like splitting up parts of British territories and taking them for America, and he was like getting that back to Winston Churchill. But one of my favorite things is that he, but I was thinking about, I was like, so I couldn't find the fucking quote, and I was so mad because I'd read it once before, but the quote was like he had written his friend and was like, he's like, this job is killing me. They're fucking me to death, like, or whatever, essentially. And then his friend wrote back, goes, you get your dick back in there, bear buddy, and you do not, like, it was like, and it was like this really funny fucking, you know, in so many words, you know, but we all remember his books, James and the Giant Nut.
Charlie and the Fuck Factory.
The BFC. Fantastic Mixture Fucks.
Yeah.
Did he write Matilda?
No, I don't think so.
I think he did.
Maybe.
Madildo?
I think he wrote
Madilda.
The glass elevator.
The glass the glass bottom boat.
Yeah. The great glass elevator.
The great glass elevator.
You mean the great glass bottom boat?
The marvelous glass. I don't know what the fuck.
No, I'm talking about, you know, when you shit on somebody's on a coffee table. Anyway, yeah.
Is that what that's called?
A glass bottom boat. Yeah, when you shit on a glass coffee table and somebody's underneath it.
Oh.
And
there's also the tits.
The tits.
Twits.
Oh right.
I'm looking at Road Doll books to now. Yeah, I'm joining.
We should have. Yeah. But yeah, but yeah, so I chose that. Oh, and he also, Roald Dahl also wrote for the screen You Only Live Twice, the James Bond movie.
Yeah.
So, which makes it immediately one of my favorite James Bond movies. Also, it's hella racist, so you should go back and watch it. It's real great.
Yeah.
You watch it, you're like, wow, that's fucked up.
right. Well, yeah. A lot of them are.
Right, but that one's like, yeah, just it, not in like, I don't know, it's racist that way. We're like, yeesh, but it's not like, you know, whatever. Yeah.
So I have a backup.
Yeah.
It is a man named Tony Mendez. He was a CIA technical operations officer. And what he was known for was disguises, like disguising people and forging documents for them. Mm-hmm. So he could get anyone into anywhere. Like at one point, he actually disguised a half Hispanic and a black agent to look like two white businessmen. And then they got into wherever they were going and then took the disguises off. Like he could do anything. Right. During this time, while he was in the CIA,
I was gonna say that disguise is probably mostly attitude.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I belong here, and let me see the manager.
Yeah, just a bunch of people like, you can't stop me.
Do you know who my father is? You're like, oh, they're white. They're white.
They're white for sure. So this was during the Iran hostage situation. Like he was in the CIA when that happened,
uh-huh.
And so in the movie Argo, documents what he did, where he made up an entire movie production,
yeah, yeah,
and forged all the documents for it, took it into Iran, grabbed all of the hostages, and got them out without a single fatality.
That's fucking
awesome.
That's
fucking badass. That's badass.
Yeah. Like, that movie's fucking really good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that movie a
good
lot.
Good old Argo Fuck Yourself.
Yeah. Alan Arkin and John Goodman are the fucking best in that movie.
Yeah, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, so he did some really cool shit. And I mean, it's the reason he's not the most metal is because he didn't kill anybody.
I was going to say there was no fatalities.
No fatalities. And you know, what I wanted to do, the person that I wanted to pick,
mm-hmm.
But it turns out he's not technically a spy, was Christopher Lee. Because in World War II, he fought for special forces. He was an English special forces, and he had, like, people of interviews have asked him, like, what did you do? And he was like, well, I can't tell you, but what do you think special forces does? Like, he said at one point, there's a quote, like, he's seen so many men. He's caused and seen so many men die that he's just immune to it now. It doesn't even bother him anymore. Christopher Lee, like, he's just a bad, bad motherfucker.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
But he wasn't technically a spy, so I couldn't pick him.
there's just a dude like holding, like, I don't, he's like got a candle or something, and he's like walks out, gets hit by a bus, and he's like, oh shit. And then he lights his cigarette off the candle. He's like, oh, fuck. Sorry, that candle almost went out.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Oh, shit.
I also thought about picking Ian Fleming himself because he was also a spy.
Yeah.
And also fucking just James Bond.
Well,
he based James Bond. Yeah, but like, I mean, because of the writing James Bond?
Yeah.
The basis of James Bond with these other, like a couple of other spies. Yeah. Like, yeah. That was a backup of mine that I was thinking about was this guy. Let me fucking pull it up. His name is Sidney fucking something. Sidney Reilly, right?
Yeah, the guy from Canada?
No. He was from, Russia, UK. Like he worked for the United UK, but he was one of Ian Fleming's, like, it was like around 1895 through like the early 1900s. He was a spy, but he literally, like, I was reading about him, and he has like crazy exploits where he did a ton of shit, but he's like a fucking bastard. Like, he was like, and not in a fun way, like, he was just like a cold-blooded, like one of the things he did was like there's evidence that he when he left Russia for he went through France, stabbed an anarchist like who was leaving with all the funds for the anarchist movement or whatever, just slit his throat and took all of his money, and then went to UK with the forged passports. Then there he met a lady named Margaret Thomas, and he killed her husband with arsenic, and then forged like a new will with her, like their name on it. And then he was he posed as the doctor, was like, nothing to see here, normal flu. And then like they never investigated. Then he married Margaret Thomas and split the money. And then he was like, while he was working in Russia as like with the UK to spy on Russia, he worked with the Japanese government at the same time to like spy on Russia. And then when he went over to during the Russo-Japanese War, he was just a war profiteer that was just like cashing in. The dude was just a dickhead, like a murderous dickhead. So I was like, nah, fuck this dude. Like, he did a lot of shit, but it was also like, man, this guy fucking sucks. Like,
yeah, he's a dick.
Yeah, this dude was just, you know, just your average rich guy. But that was a guy I was researching. Oh, a cool thing about, what would I say with Sidney Reilly? His real name is, they don't know his real name, but it's either Sigmund Rosenblum or George Rosenblum, which I laugh because there's an open micer in town named George Rosenbaum.
Yeah.
And I just imagine that he's just George Rosenbaum, like a really, super left brain, like nerdy guy dressed like a tiny dad.
Yeah.
This is one of his jokes. Hey guys. Definitely not here spying for the Japanese.
Yeah, he would be the perfect spy.
Perfect cover. Hey, guys, mind if I join your conversation? What are those plans?
Yeah, that would be a lot like it.
Where do you get a top secret stamp? I love it. Yeah. But yeah, so I think that's it, right?
That's spies, yeah.
Fuck yeah, man.
I picked Mary Bloom.
And I picked Mary Nancy Bowser. Mary Bowser.
Yeah.
And I picked Nancy Wake. So next topic. All right, that brings us to...
chess piece.
Boy, you can stop jerking off now. That's how, because you
start
and time it perfectly. I would start cinching the belt around your neck just a little so you get there. Start turning off the gas, if you will. I went first last time. This means Dan gets to go first this time on most metal chess piece. Now, this is just on the physical regular chessboard chess piece.
Yeah.
Right?
As opposed to
like a Star Trek chessboard with
a bunch of like
where the queen is
non-themed. It's just straight pieces. Chess.
Okay, that is totally cool. Okay, because that was the part of my I was like, oh, I should do some research and see if there's a this or whatever. But yes, cool.
Now, real quick, if I can ask a question, because on the list it says everything except the knight. Did you guys stick to that?
Yeah,
you did. Okay,
I didn't pick the knight.
Yeah, it's my backup, but yeah. Okay, great.
All right. So my number one chess piece is the rook.
Okay.
Because it's the only one on the board that's not based when a person. It's instead a giant stone building.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It can only go, it like bishops and whatnot can go at an angle, but it's just like a battering ram. It goes straight forward or to the side.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, anything, it crushes anything in its path.
Yeah.
Some chess sets, instead of making it a brick, like a tower, it's like a war elephant or a cannon.
Yeah.
I just think it's fucking badass. And at the end of the day, you could do a special move with it and the king where you can castle.
Uh-huh.
And then the king and the rook swap places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only piece on the board that can do that.
Yeah.
I fucking think the rook is
Thought about that, but yeah, castling is one of those, it's like the only like weird special move that's sort of like
in it's the only piece on the board that has a special power.
Yeah. That's fucking, yeah, I never thought about that. That's fucking,
I mean, you can only do it if the king and the rook haven't moved, but
right.
Still.
Yeah. That's fucking, yeah. Interesting. No, I don't. I haven't played chess legit in a long time, so I forgot about that move. I'm like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fucking really cool. The castle is badass. It's like, it's one of those it's one of the pieces that just iconically looking at it looks fucking cool as shit. Like I've always liked it.
Like, yeah, whenever somebody like, whenever you see like chess pieces described or like a flag that has like a chess piece on it, it is always the rook.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. yeah, I like that. I like the idea too of just a giant tower flying at you.
Like, yeah, just
you're like, "Oh, that's not nope."
So it's a siege tower.
Yeah, for sure. My choice for most metal chess piece. I'm going to go queen. The queen because it's just the most powerful piece.
Yeah.
It can move in every fucking direction as far as it wants to fucking go. And I also like that it's like a secret weapon behind the lines. Like it's like, it doesn't really pop out traditionally till like most of your pawns are way out in the mix or like a little bit later in the game. And then it just goes through and clears shit out. Like you can just lay siege to everybody because it can just go around everybody's moves. It's just the most powerful piece. What else is cool about the queen is that traditionally the queen was like a super weak piece. Like it was like when I guess chess started in India, like, or they think it's like, and it's definitely along the Silk Road is how it like moved along. Yeah. So it's like thousands of years old. And but the queen originally just could only move. It moved like the king, basically. It could move like one space. So it was like this really like weak piece. But I like, but then when it got to the West to Europe, and then we made it kings and queens and stuff. It was like, oh, the queen is like this powerful lady too, and then he made it the most powerful piece. But also on a Mongolian chessboard, the queen is depicted with a Chinese lion. Which is just bad as fuck. And all the pawns are actually baby lions. So it's like all the pawns are just like her children and shit that go out, which is fucking really tight too. But yeah, I really like, the queen is just bad as fuck. I always like that the queen's larger than the king too. Like the king's like this emaciated dude in a throne, like, and she's like, I'll handle this shit. Like, and just fucking handle shit. So I've always liked the queen. It's like, it's a badass piece.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's cool. The queen is a good
If you
choice.
Lose your queen, you're kind of fucked in chess.
You're kind of dead.
You're real fucked.
Yeah.
The queen and the knights, like those are the three most important pieces.
Yeah,
to
for
have.
Sure. And it makes sense, by the way, we didn't choose the knight because it's a fucking horse head.
Yeah.
It's just a horse head.
It's a horse head that can jump down on top of you.
Yeah. It's
like it could go anywhere. Never know.
Yeah, it's at a wacky attack movement. I was reading in chess too that like the knight is a piece like almost no matter where you go in the world, it moves exactly the same. And that's not the same for every other version of chess. Like, which is fucking crazy. But yeah, it's just a fucking horse head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking bad as fuck. Anyway, but yeah. Did you have a backup, Dan?
I do have a backup. My backup is the pawn.
Nice.
Interesting.
I was actually,
because
mine too.
Only because it's the weakest. Mm-hmm. Thing on the board, but if you punk your opponent to the point where you can get the pawn all the way to the other side, it gains all the powers of a queen.
Nice.
So then you can have you can have multiple queens on the board, and that pretty much fucking game over for anybody.
Yeah.
And that's a flex move. Like if you're really good at chess and you want to flex on somebody, you just have a pawn go all the way to the other side, turn it into a queen, and then fuck shit up.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you can do it twice, that's even no matter what, it's far better. And it's just, I mean, it can only move forward. It can stab to the to an angle. It's not.
Yeah.
It's weak until that moment, and then it just becomes Super Saiyan.
I always like a pawn too, because a pawn is like the least it's the least ornate. Like, and no matter what chessboard you're looking at, sometimes it's just like a little fucking like
peg.
Yeah, yeah, like a dots candy or something. Like it's a peg. It's like it's faceless, it's featureless. There's a bunch of it, it can only just march forward and die. Like, which is, and I always actually every time I've ever played, and it probably says something about me, but I've always felt bad for the pawn every time I've ever played chess. Where I'm like, man, this just fucking sucks. Like, cause I'm like, I knew my place as socioeconomically in my life growing up in a trailer. I'm this guy, aren't I? I'm this fucking dude, aren't I? You sons of bitches. But just that idea of just like people marching and dying, and you're like, yep, that's how it works. Yeah. But they help or whatever. It's like, fuck you, that sucks. But yeah, so I've always like the pawn's kind of super badass that way. It's just like a kamikaze. It just kind of just goes out and fucking dies. It's pretty fucking cool.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my backup as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're freaking bad as fuck.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's it for chess pieces.
I think so too. That fucking, wow, this is going kind of pulls.
Oh shit.
Oh, he didn't look it up. that's okay.
This will just take a second.
No, no problem. So if you don't know, so Dan chose the rook, I chose the queen. We like to put these up usually around Wednesday. Or whenever I get around to doing it, and put them up on Instagram mostly. I don't even know if I did Twitter this time.
I'm checking right now. I don't think we did. No, you didn't.
Because who gives a shit? Boy, I hate Twitter.
Really bad.
I go on there, I fart, I talk shit on somebody, and I leave, and I'm like, why did I even go to this fucking, corrosive, horrible fucking...
It had promise, and then just...
Yeah.
It just lost it.
Yeah, now it's just a complete tool of fucking misinformation and trash.
Yeah.
But I'll try to put it up on there every once in a while, so keep your eyes out. But you get to vote on these things, and you get to feel what it's like to have your vote count.
Yeah.
And that's got to feel nice. So we'll put them up, you vote on them, and then that's how we decide what is the most metal thing. It's a democracy.
In action.
In action, you guys. In action.
Oh, speaking of democracy.
So last week,
the first topic was the most metal airline hijacking.
Oh, yeah.
And with 56% of the votes, we have
a squeaker.
The FedEx Flight 705.
Oh, shit. Okay. Hammer attack by that dude. I can't remember his name now. But yeah, hammer attack of three pilots and a spear gun. unsuccessful, but. I mean, he did dent in some skulls. He did make ashtrays out of heads. And I think, isn't that kind of what it's really all
about?
That's
what it's really all about.
Yeah. So, did pull an eye out of a head. That's
pretty good.
Yeah. So that's okay. Cool. 56. That was a squeaker.
Right.
What was Dan's?
Mine was the very first hijacking where a lady tried to brain a dude with a ball peen hammer in a biplane.
That's fucking awesome.
Flying over a city.
God. Just how Looney Tunes comical that is just great. Yeah,
as soon as I read it, I laughed.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit, that's fucking crazy.
That's also a fantastic one.
Now, for the most metal chess grandmaster, it was, as you can remember, Deep Blue.
Yes.
Versus Judit Polgar.
Yep. Judit.
Or Judit.
Judit Polgar.
Judit. Jesus. Okay. And with 67% of the votes, it goes to Deep Blue.
All right. Yeah.
I disagree.
Come on. It's a soulless computer.
I also disagree.
Against
Judith Polgar is bad as fuck.
The woman that, a little girl that was kicking the shit out of old men. Yeah, in
that
chess
is
tournaments,
also awesome. I agree.
Old men were trying.
On your grave of fucking chess grandmasters.
yeah. Like old men were dodging her. Like they were like, I don't want any part of this little pigtail girl.
Oh. But did she have blood and feelings? She loses. We're talking about a killing machine. We're talking about Skynet, Dan.
Skynet.
Terminator versus a little girl.
I like that a lot of time and effort was, oh, I was looking it up too on like the amount of, and I, th- oh fuck, like it, like, hold on, I'm gonna look it up real fast. But I was looking up the processing power of Deep Blue, and it's fucking hilarious at this point. Deep Blue, IBM. It's, you, and you, Dan, you're a computerman.
holy shit.
What?
I looked it up too.
Okay, yeah, you're okay. Your shit's working faster than mine.
It was capable of evaluating 200 million positions per second.
That's pretty badass because they actually like did a string of the process of the one process, so it was able to do, which is a little bit different than how like a phone I guess works.
At its highest performance, it achieved 11.38 GFLOPS.
Mm.
Gigaflops,
dude. There's teraflop computers now. Like,
that's the goofiest name for data that I have ever heard in my life.
Well, it did.
It does 46 Google poops in a second. You don't understand how many
Google wanks. It did 300 million FEMA wanks.
Do you know how many goddamn Tetra sharts this thing does a second?
It could go, man. It does a terracorn worth of fucking work of calculations. Not gonna believe it.
You know how many? It does 3.7 dingle floops.
Dingle floops.
A fucking minute. But yeah, so a gigaflop is like stupid. That's dumb. Like at this point, because like, it's teraflop computer is like,
yeah, it's not, it's kind of, it's fucking nothing.
Yeah,
now Deep
Look
Blue
up supercomputers now, like,
yeah, I mean, it's still a supercomputer, but it probably, like, I don't know what Deep Blue is doing now, what they did with it.
I think I read that, like, so how many positions was it?
Do you 200 remember? Million a second.
200 million a second, which I think is still, because of the way they chained the one thing that it has to do, that's still pretty fucking
impressive. Yeah, for sure. They that processor probably was built to do just one thing.
Exactly. And so from what I was reading, that's still really impressive, but they were saying like an iPhone running a chess program can do like 8 million or something. So it's still but that's not it being geared directly to do just that. So or something like that. But anyway, but that's still like, yeah, of course it was going to be just like ridiculous, like just a speak and spell, just like basically. But yeah, flops is an odd.
Yeah,
it's an odd.
So the most powerful supercomputer in existence is called Summit, and it is used for the U.S. Department of Energy in the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, and it performs at between 122.3 and 143.5 petaflops.
Yeah, petajerks. I believe that's a million times more than a gigaflop.
That's it. Does a million?
I don't know.
Petastrokes. Pedo. They had it.
It's peta.
Oh, so,
peta, but still
peta.
Oh,
so
okay,
so
that's
it does.
I was
it frees 100
like,
million squirrels or whatever. It can save.
Pedo strokes.
It can save 1 billion monkeys a second.
Oh fuck. Oh. That. Oh my god. Does it like a 4,000. Pedo licks a parsec. You don't even understand. God damn it.
It does a Catholic amount of fucking calculations. We just, the number, once it gets to pedo, it's just Catholic.
It does it does a cardinal load of.
It does a card. Plus a Michael Jackson.
It does a. Oh, fuck. Oh my god. Yeah, speaking of Chocolate Factory. Okay. So
Michael. Oh god.
Yeah. All right. We promise not to do this every episode. God, why does it have to be back in the news? So funny. Okay. So I already forgot. Okay. So Deep Blue and the FedEx Flight 705. Hell yeah. So I believe that it brings a ride the lightning round. I do a little Jesse Ventura. That actually
sounds better with your voice all fucked up.
Oh, kind of, yeah, right? I'll tell you right now, Mean Gene, you just gotta overpronounce all of your words. When you're chucking, you gotta just reach out there and just wind your jaw around in a goddamn circle when you're chucking. It's just, you gotta kind of breathe in your mouth as well when you do it. And I'll tell you how many pedo strokes this damn thing does, you goddamn chucking. I'm a goddamn sexual tyrannosaurus, Minji. You know, you're goddamn ride the lightning ground. This is where Dan and I, we bring just without any of the research and studiousness we did before. I mean, Gene, we just out of the holster. You just had to pick a, you know, just something out of the goddamn pocket.
Yeah. Pick by producer Randy.
Producer Randy.
Oh, are we doing
yeah, that? Okay. I was stalling. Sure. For God's sakes.
No, I had it. We're going to do this week the most metal big city.
Oh. The big city. Well, I'll tell you right now, the good people of Minnesota. And Minneapolis, they're in. Okay, we roll to see who gets
to go
first.
I'll let you guys decide if we're doing U.S. or worldwide. Because it didn't specify on the list.
Let's do worldwide.
Yeah, all right.
Well, didn't we already do U.S. City? I feel like we did.
We might have done U.S. City.
Oh, fuck.
Hold on.
You know what? This is going to be... Okay, let's do worldwide because that's going to be real hard to do out of the holster without research. But feels good.
Yeah,
let's do it.
I'll do it.
All right, we're rolling just 20-sided dice. You get to go first. 11.
4.
All right, I get to go. I have to go first. Fuck, most metal city. I feel like I did because I did pick Kowloon Walled City in China.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Kowloon or something. Kowloon.
Up again.
Well, we just Walled that city. Wasn't big city. We just that was just city.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's say
Kowloon is not.
Yeah, you're right. That's not a big city.
Not a big city.
You're right. That's not a big city. Fuck. I'm gonna go with most metal. Big fucking city. Okay. Well, I want to go something like, God damn it. Why did I do worldwide? That makes it so much fucking harder.
Yeah.
Stupid. And I'm like, my shitty American geography is kicking in where I'm all like, all right, name one town in this place. Fucking the capital of India, fucking Nepal,
Bombay,
maybe Bombay is pretty. I'm gonna go Mexico City. Nope. São Paulo, Brazil.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that the one with the favelas?
Yes, because it's got a super high. It's got the highest murder rate in any city.
Yeah.
They got the favelas there, which are fucking just slums, like full of people trying to make ends meet. You know what I mean? And so by that, they're just selling drugs and sling. You know, they're doing what they can to get through prostitution, doing what the only thing left to poor people to do when it comes to that. And that usually means a lot of violence. It was an inverted.
Half a burp.
It was like a burp that didn't leave my. Yeah, it was an inverted burp.
Inverburp.
It was perverted. What? Do you know how many goddamn pedo burps this does? Oh, fucking sick. São Paulo, Brazil. Yeah, it's just it's one of the deadliest places on earth. It's but also beautiful and badass. So it's tropical. It's like And for some reason, the giant statue of Jesus with his arms outstretched, not helping.
Doesn't make anything
it's
better.
San Paolo, though.
You sure?
Christ the Redeemer?
Yes.
No, it's not there.
All right.
That is in... I thought so. It's in Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, that doesn't even count. Oh, okay. Well, whatever. You would think a statue that big would have a certain amount of fucking radius for blessings. But turns out not so much. It's almost like a dude doesn't exist. And he's, yeah. But anyway, the statue's not big enough is clearly the problem. I mean, I've said it. I was selling that to my friends on Easter Island. I'm like, well, come on. When you get serious about these heads, then we're going to get their trees back.
Oh, did you? This is totally an aside. But but those statues are actually not just heads. There are bodies attached to them, but the heads were bigger and the ground isn't very solid, so they sank. So there's a body underneath almost every one of them that either like has been dissolved or is just like still there a little bit.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah.
Just like that. I believe there's a Far Side cartoon that depicts that whole thing.
Yeah.
But I guess it was right. Like every Far Side cartoon. Yeah, São Paulo, Brazil, out of the holster. I'm wrong. But yep. Go on, Dan.
So,
also, I've got the, after Dan, you make your choice, I've got the list of the top 50 most deadly cities by homicide pulled up.
Cool, we'll do them all.
Yeah.
we'll just go down the list. So, there are two that I'm thinking of. I'm gonna go with Amsterdam.
Oh shit!
Because for everyone in America, that's a legendary party city. Yeah. Like if you're like,
it is.
I'm going to Amsterdam. Everybody's like, oh damn, you're gonna get fucked up, son.
Yeah,
like you get in a fucking red district, the red light district.
Yeah,
fully legal prostitution, mm-hmm. drugs.
The red light
everywhere.
District is badass too. That's really cool.
And nice. It's just it's just hedonistic, and also the Dutch have a super dark sense of humor.
Yeah.
So all of their like cartoons, their political cartoons are just the political guys getting murdered. Like they just straight up like fucking shot in the head.
Wow.
Like they're,
I need to start doing stand up there.
If they were, to do they've probably even done a Donald Trump, like cartoon, mm-hmm. political cartoon, where it's just a dude shooting
Google
him
now.
In the face.
That's awesome.
So anyway, but I'm not sure about that. But.
Their dark sense of humor. Does that explain their wacky doors?
Yeah, they're stupid shoes.
it makes it way harder to walk. Yeah. Your feet hurt, right? Yeah, that's us.
But yeah, like I think Amsterdam.
Yeah, that's
Amsterdam,
a great choice.
Fucking everybody I know, like I still want to go. And weed is legal in Portland.
It's a pretty cool city. It's really cool. One thing about Amsterdam that not a lot of people know, all of the houses are built on just wooden planks. So they're all sinking into the water that's there. They're constantly just sinking. So at one point, sometime in the future, that entire city will be underwater.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
And isn't Anne Frank's fucking... Yeah, is Anne Frank's house is also in Amsterdam?
That's correct.
So yeah, that... A little, you know.
Yeah.
The outside of it looks fucking weird and modern. I don't like it, but yeah, it's definitely there.
They updated Anne Frank's house?
None of the interior. It's basically a museum now, but like
the
outside of it looks like it's just like a new home in Portland, like a new apartment home in Portland.
Oh, Did they actually remodel and change it, or did they just paint it?
No. It's just the outside of it looks, they have like these weird.
I'm just making sure they didn't like
slats and shit on it.
It
doesn't look like a house.
Okay. Okay. So I'm like, did they just cut up a shipping container and shit and put it like that? You don't have to show. I mean,
I'm not going to show you. We're not going to talk about it right now, but I'll show you later. But yeah, it's just not.
I'm like, I've heard
it looks
about
fucking
it.
Weird. But yeah, Amsterdam is a great choice.
Yeah, that is a really good choice, man. It's funny to think. I haven't thought about it, but it's like, he's like, oh yeah, you can go there, you can smoke weed, you can do all this shit. And you're like, now I'm like, oh yeah, why would I?
Why would I go over there to do that?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I can do that.
I mean, I basically...
I would love to go anyway, just...
Yeah, yeah.
So you've been there around here.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What year?
2 years ago.
And the red light district?
It's rad.
Was there something for a discerning Randall Lawrence there?
There would have been, yeah. But I was 4 months into my relationship with
him. Well, I don't mean like...
Or 2 months.
Was there specifically... Yes, I met a nice young man. No, I'm just curious. Because like, I've only ever seen the ladies in the...
I didn't see a whole lot of it.
Yeah.
I actually saw it in the morning. Uh-huh. Which was weird.
That's a bad time,
well,
I think, to catch the red light.
There's not a lot of people in the window, but you see all the people cleaning the rooms. You're like, oh, that's a weird job. That's a fun job. That,
yeah.
But I did. I walked around there a little bit.
Were they in hazmat suits?
Yes.
Because I would be. I'd be complete. I don't know.
No, the thing that I was trying to, the one thing I wanted to do when I was there was smoke weed.
Uh-huh.
Smoke Amsterdam weed. And you have to get it at the quote-unquote coffee shops,
uh-huh.
right? And all the ones that, like, literally all of them were, like, a bar in downtown on a Saturday night. They were just packed.
Oh, yeah.
Full of shitty dude bros.
Oh, I bet.
So I just walked until, you know, I could find one. And I found one that was a coffee shop. And it was the one thing labeled a coffee shop in Amsterdam that didn't sell any fucking weed. And there was nobody there.
Nice.
So that was a thing. But, yeah, it's a really, really cool city. It's a lot of fun to walk around and check out.
Oh, fucking really cool.
But if you – I was just thinking, like, when you're watching the people who are cleaning up, the guy that you want to talk to, the person that you want to talk to is the person that's licking things clean. Like, that guy is either going to be the grossest person or the most interesting. Either way, it's worth your time.
Yeah. I would talk to them through glass, for sure.
He's just sucking on the sheets, like, nom, 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 nom.
I'm like, I do not need to smell the cum breath of, like, 1,000 dudes or whatever. Like, I'm like, nope, that's good. No. fuck. Yeah. If I had a backup, I'd go Mexico City. Also super violent, but also super polluted. It's like one of the because the smog and shit there is like super bad. So it's one of those cities that's just like it's so like polluted and you know, like not like that to me is like super interesting and yeah. What's up?
Sorry, I just found a Dutch political cartoon of Trump. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. I can describe this because I'm loving it too. It's Steve Bannon. It's a pig with Steve Bannon's head laying on its side. The pig is labeled Steve Bannon. And then a tiny President Trump is sucking on one of his nipples. Yeah. Well, like on a
we'll
bed of hay.
We'll post this on the Instagram.
Oh, yeah, definitely do that. That's great. And true, frankly. I like that. Man.
Damn, there's a lot of great Steve Bannon ones.
Yeah.
That one's really good too.
Oh yeah, tiny Steve Bannon running a remote, like
running a ratatouille.
Yeah, basically. But it, no, but it's inside his head with little gear shifts and stuff. It's like he's controlling Trump like a robot. Anyway.
He's got two little suitcases that say white nationalism in there with him.
Oh, does he?
Yep.
Oh, he's got baggage. Dan, do you have a backup real fast?
Yeah. What are we calling a big city, by the way? Like what?
Over 100 people.
Over. All right.
I would say Portland's probably the smallest.
The smallest.
Yeah, which is what around 700,000.
Okay. Yeah. I will for sure pick Oslo, Norway. Like it only has like its greater metropolitan area only has 1.5 million.
Mm.
But it's the birthplace of black metal. Like it's fucking
there you go.
It's simultaneously the most brutal and happiest place on earth. Like Oslo, Norway is always ranked in the top 5 happiest countries. I actually read a thing a little while ago that they did a psychological study of the effects of black and death metal on people just in general.
Mm.
And they found that on average, people who listen to death metal and black metal are happier than people who don't. So
yeah, but that could just be our giant dicks.
Yeah. It could just be because our music is better.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. So no, I believe that.
Yeah, like metalheads are by and large happier than non-metalheads.
Yeah.
Which is it was so disconcerting to the people that did it. They did it twice to make sure they got it right.
Oh, wow.
Cuz they couldn't believe the results. They were like, this is not what we were expecting.
Yeah, yeah.
So I watched the show Modern Family. Which is not a metal show by any means.
Uh-huh.
And in a recent episode, the adopted kid that they get from Vietnam is like really depressed and moody. And they, in the very end of the episode, they're like, you know, put on whatever music on the stereo you want. That'll make you feel better. And, you know, we'll get into it. We want to know what you're all about as a teenage girl. And she throws in death metal. And that's how the rest of that scene plays out. Is she's just beaming in the back seat while the two gay dudes in the front are just like, oh, what the fuck is going on?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's not a not metal show because Ed O'Neill's in it and he's pretty badass. So
that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, like, anything with that dude in it's pretty fucking cool. He made Dutch not totally shitty, and it was shitty. Anyway, what? Honorable mention, Prague in the Czech Republic, because fuck they you. Have a church made out of fucking human bones.
They do.
So fucking beat that. Yeah. there's a church in Prague that's like, was built in like 1300 and it's still up and running. Like it's still got bullet holes and cannon holes and shit in it still. Like it's bad as fuck. It's just a fucking really cool, that's a cool city. My friend Kristen lived there for a couple of years, shooting porn stills.
Perfect.
Dude, this is back in the MySpace days, but she like one day just posts a picture. It's a video of her like hanging out with Coolio. And this is not when Coolio was cool. It was way after. And Coolio's like flirting with her. And she's like, no, okay. No. But yeah, it turns out they were doing like party porn. So Coolio was playing in the background of like where people are just fucking at a party.
Yeah.
So yeah. But really fucking funny. So she had a bunch of really funny stories about shooting porn and stuff.
In
Prague, which is like really funny. So
if I have any other, let's see, probably the other city that came to mind was Berlin.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Just because it's German.
Yeah.
I can't really say why Germany.
Birthplace of shit porn.
Yeah. And it's fucking, I just think Germany, even though it's responsible for Nazis, mm-hmm. right? That's shitty. But they're still like a very, like Germanic people are very like Viking kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're kind of like landbound Vikings. Yeah. They were brutal as shit for their entire existence.
Yeah.
They're also rad people.
Yeah.
Really fucking cool people.
And so
I like how they're like human robots. I always like that. Like, just like cold. Have you finished all of your homework today? Good. Now we will eat the exact nutrient amount we need to get through the next 4 hours before the next nutrient. Is this all very like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah. I like the fact also that their language, like German language. I don't actually know how this works,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like they just chain words together to make a new word.
Yeah, like
so
that
like,
too,
like,
yeah.
like so like Schadenfreude, like,
yeah, or doppelganger.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, we're gonna take these two words, mix them together,
these
bam,
powers now.
New fucking word.
Yeah, they do have, they have a lot of a really cool, like yeah. Just doppelganger. It's the twin that tries to kill you. You're like, we need a word for this. Like, yeah, what? Like, why?
What the fuck? Why?
No other place. No other place. Was
no
like,
other place. They're just like, yeah, every time, every single thing, they're like, yeah, we're going to need a new word.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, I think that's the episode, man. Yep. Let's call that shit. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Make sure you vote online when and if I ever do that. hope you have a fucking good ass.
I think we should plug a couple things before
let's plug
we go.
A couple things, yes.
So at the end of April, Noriko and I, What's More Metal, will be headlining the Sincerity is Gross show
mm-hmm.
at the Slide Inn here in Portland, Oregon, if you're in the city.
Yeah, that'd be the last Sunday of April.
Last Sunday of April. The April 17th, to celebrate Easter, I am doing another live recording of Reading the Bible with Dan.
Fuck yeah.
Where Noriko will be my co-host.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk shit about the story of Daniel.
And we'll see if we finally get along.
Yeah, I don't know.
One time it might happen. And then I do on April 30th. I've got my installment of Cool Kids, the Doug Fur. Going on. They got Adam Posse, Marcus Coleman, Karina Lucas, and Dylan Jenkins are going to be on that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then I'll get Dan on the next one. But that's going to be, that'll be a really fun show. It's a bunch of heavy hitters be fucking killing it. So, yeah, that's it. Got to have DJ Dina B be our musical guest. So
fuck
that'll be fucking
she's
awesome.
She's rad.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, come see them. Come see us, listen to our podcast, leave a review.
Mm-hmm.
You can download it and then delete it for all we care. Yeah. Like, I just want more downloads.
Yep.
Subscribe to this, even if you hate podcasts and you found this by accident.
Yeah, or, you know, your family. It's like, I just don't understand. Oh.
Yeah, set it to subscribe on all your family's, like, devices when you're over there for the holidays.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Your kids have horrible cell phones and shit now. They don't listen to podcasts. Just subscribe to it. Just come on. Fucking sneak in those fucking downloads.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's it. That's the episode.
And maybe they'll accidentally listen, and then we'll warp their tiny little fucking heads.
Maybe we'll make your fucking racist uncle cooler.
Yeah. Maybe.
You'll know that he is if he inserts unicorning into a conversation.
Boy, you really unicorned that topic into this discussion, didn't you? Listen to a previous episode if you want to know what that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. And have a fucking good one. Or don't. Fuck you. Yeah!